your comfort. Many thanks for staying tuned on Comfort 95.1 FM. Normally at this time, we get to slice and dice the trending stories in the world of sports. But of course, we need to, of course, wait for the 2:10 segment where Willy will take us through. Right now, as a special interactive session with the members of Connected Development. Yes, for some time now, oil producing communities have had to be bearing the brunt of oil exploration in their localities. With the passage of the Petroleum Industry Act and the incorporation of the Host Community Development Trust, the government attempts to provide sugar and, of course, and mandate the support to oil-bearing communities. But a major challenge is lack of sensitization. And, of course, the community members should benefit from the implementation of the Host Community Development Trust. And no wonder we will be having this particular interactive session with the members of Connected Development. This interaction aims at sensitizing the public and letting them know the benefits of host communities. But compulsorily, we, of course, will be monitoring the progress of if the oil companies have been adhering to the stipulation guiding the implementation of the Host Community Development Trust. Good morning, wherever you're listening from. It's an interactive session right here on Comfort 95.1 FM, and we'll be talking to the members of Connected Development. This interactive section is a session is actually, of course, sponsored and supported by Oxfam. And joining me this morning, by the way, I am Monday Thomas, joining me to talk about this very, very delicate topic is Ubong Ekpe, who is the Akwaibom State Lead Follow the Money. And we also have a barrister in the studio this morning, Barrister Martins Asukpa, Akpenukan Youth President Ibana. Good morning, gentlemen. Great to have you, Ubong Ekpe, once again.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, before we get to the nitty-gritty, before we get to the questions that I have for you this morning, quickly, let's get to know once again, what is the organization Connected Development all about?
Okay, so our organization, it's we push for marginalized community. So we realize that most marginalized community now in this context, the oil-producing, oil-bearing communities. So they are responsible for the volume of wealth we have as a nation. But when we go down to these communities, we realize that the benefits of the oil wealth doesn't accrue to them so much. So what we do as an organization is to share knowledge, share information, advocates for improvements in the lots of this community and ensure that the dividends of democracy also trickles down to them. We realize that when you get to these communities, the education is facilities are abysmal, the healthcare services are so poor, and lots of infractions and deliverables are not accrued to this community. So we share information with them and advocate for changes.
All right, once again, I'm going to stay with you, Ubong Ekpe. Before we get to talk to our barrister, who is actually on the field, I mean, he's the youth president, Akpenukan Youth President, Ibono Local Government Area. So he's going to break things down from the field point of view. But first of all, another question for you. What is the Host Community Development Trust?
Okay, Host Community Development Trust is a provision of the PIA, that's Petroleum Industry Act. That act stipulates that the host community development trust must be set up by the oil company to address the challenges and the needs of oil communities, the host community. So 3% of the operating expenditure of an oil company must be set aside for this host community development trust. So the company must, in collaboration with the leaders of the community, they should come together to set up a BOT. So the mandate of that host community is to ensure that the funds that accrue to the Host Community Development Trust is being used for in the area of providing healthcare services, educational services, create employment, and basically the needs that these all communities have been able to address as being a major challenge, a priority point for them.
Okay, so thank you so much for, of course, getting the definitions of connected development and also what the host community development trust is all about. And now let's get to talk to Barrister. Good morning once again,
yeah,
Barrister.
Good morning, good
Martins. Great to have you join us. So the question, the first question I have for you is that all communities or all companies adhering to the stipulations guiding the implementation of the host community development trust?
Okay.
Are they adhering to the stipulations?
Once again, good morning, everyone. Now, I would like to say that I think they are actually adhering to at different level, because we have different oil companies, we have different IOCs, and all of them are not, I can't say, are working at the same, you know, pace. But the truth of the matter is that because there's a penalty for failure, you know, once they fail to adhere to those regulations or to do so, not just adhering, but adhering within the stipulated time frame. So definitely they are adhering, but at different you know, pace currently at the moment.
So we are here to, of course, make sure that the host communities are sensitized and know their benefits and, of course, their rights, and also measuring the progress that has been done so far by oil companies. So what would you rate them out of 10? I mean, for their inherent abilities, or what would you rate them?
I think 10? For some, I could give maybe like 4 to 5%. You know, we have some, we understand that there are some challenges or there are some factors actually hindering them or making them not to be, you know.
What are those factors? Can you quickly just highlight it for us?
Okay, for instance, now, let's be very, let me try to be very snappy here. You see, there are guidelines before an IOC or a settler, as it's been, you know, defined in the PIA, or it's been referred to, before they can set up these host community development trust. There are guidelines, there are things that they must do. For instance, you know, one of those instances is that before the trust is being incorporated, they need to work with the community. And then we have this challenge currently now. They said that they have to do it, set up this trust in consultation with the host community. Now, that is what the PIA says. But we have the challenge whereby the traditional rulers are saying they should be the one, you know, to make the nominations.
Okay.
The council, like I'm talking about, the council chairman are also saying they should be the one. So first and foremost, this factor is also, you know, delaying the immediate, you know, setting up of the trust. Because it is not the company that will come to the community and pick the people, you know, the trustees or the would-be trustees. It is the host community that will nominate persons and then
selected
forward,
persons,
yes, you know, and then forward the selected or the nominated names,
okay,
to the settler, you know, to be included. So now there is a friction. There's a friction between who are the right people to make the nomination, whether it is the council chairman, which is, you know, those in the position of authority, or the royal father, the traditional ruler. So that's one of the factors militating, you know, against the speedy setting up of the host community development trust. Then secondly, if you look at the PIA, it tries to define what a host community is. And then you are talking about setting up a host community development trust. So the first thing is, who are the host communities?
Okay.
You get the point. So this problem, this challenge of determining who are the host community, because the truth of the matter is that everybody wants to be part of the host community development trust. You understand? So these factors are some of the things that are actually basically militating against the speedy setting up of the host community development trust.
So I'll quickly jump in there. As an organization, last week we had a training session where we were able to train the community leaders around the PIA.
Okay.
And we also paid an advocacy visit to the local government chairman of Ipanon Local Government. So that was a way of trying to mediate in this conflict that, okay, the traditional rulers is not your exclusive right to do the make the nomination, and also the executive chairman. So we are trying to see how we can bring these two parties together so they could work harmoniously to ensure that the board is being set up. But I think I also would love to ask the youth president.
So before you get to throwing your question, I'd like to ask you, he's saying that out of five, he would give them a 4 over 5 for their adherence to the...
Out of 10.
Yes.
Out of 10,
you give them how many?
Yes, like 4 to 5%.
4 to 5.
Yes.
Okay, that's a pretty much not a good one.
Yes.
Not a good one at all.
No. Of course.
That's what I needed
because you know why I'm saying that? Now they're supposed to write to the commission. When I mean the commission, I'm talking about NUPRIC now. That's a national Nigerian upstream petroleum regulatory, you know, commission. They are supposed to notify them of the intention to do what? To set up the host community development trust. Now, majority of the company has not done that. Talk less of going to CAC. You know, they are still at the community level trying to, you know, request from the community that names, nominees should be forwarded to them. It is only when they have these names of nominees forwarded to them that they can now forward, you know, notify NUPRIC that they want to register or incorporate a trust.
So you're
and
saying,
then proceed to CAC.
So you're saying
so much has not really been done.
All right. So
despite the fact that the deadline, you know,
like the factors you've just stated, you're saying that if these factors are taken care of, if things are in the right place, the oil companies will be able to get that mark from 4 over 10 or 4.5 over 10 to maybe what?
7 or thereabout.
Okay, so, all right. So do you agree with that particular one from your point of view, from your organization point of view? I mean, from the you're speaking on behalf of Connected Development. It's saying that if these factors of finding people who are people of integrity to be nominated and, of course, to represent the host community as well, that they will be able, the oil companies will be able to do their work effectively.
The fast track.
As it is stipulated on the host community development trust. Do you agree to that?
Yes, I agree to it 100%.
So basically, we can say that the host communities and the oil companies who are not, of course, in great terms is because of the people in the host communities. Can we completely blame the people in the host communities for, of course, slowing down the progress of oil companies in adhering to the trust funds?
You know, the thing for me here, I think it has to do, it has to do with two sides.
Okay.
Now, the host, the IOC, which is the settlers here, they have a greater role of, you know, creating awareness, you know, educating the communities that this is how these things should be done.
Okay.
Because you know what? There is a fine of $2,500 per day failure to incorporate the trust within a stipulated time. So, and then who are the ones to pay this, penalty? It is the settler. That's the IOCs. So it is not incumbent on them to begin to sensitize the leaders, the traditional, you know, councils, talk to the community people that you have to do this thing not independently, but you have to do it collectively as a community.
All right, I think we've started the sensitization right now. Yes,
okay.
We are talking to Boris Martins Osukpa, who is the Okpenokan Youth President Ibono. Basically, it is an interactive session right here with the members of Connected Development. We also have Ubo Ekpe right here, who is the Akwaibom State Lead Follow the Money. And the first question, which has been concisely answered by Boris Osukpa, giving the oil communities 4.5 out of 10 for the adherence to the simulation guiding the host community development trust. All right, we move ahead to the next questions. And is your balls now on the communities? Are communities going to experience sustainable growth from the implementation of this HCDT? I mean, I'm talking about the host community development trust.
Okay, you know, so Thomas.
First of all, I would like to know what are the features of this host community development front and of trust, and then we'll get to know if the community will get to benefit from it and how possible is it?
Now, the thing here is very simple. As a lawyer, I'm not just talking as a youth leader, but I'm talking as a lawyer. Now, Chapter 3 of the PIA makes provision for the host community generally. And then the key thing there is that it provides that 3% of the total expenditure, you know, of every settler shall be given to, you know, the host community, shall be paid into the trust. You know, a fund shall be set out, which shall be paid into that trust, 3% of whatever thing the company spends. You know, but that's not the issue. The issue is, have you also looked at the liabilities, the responsibilities that the PIA has placed on the host community? This is an aspect that a lot of persons are actually ignoring or are not talking about, you know. So, but for me, I feel that the responsibility, the liability placed on the host community, like for instance, where there is a vandalization of a facility of the settler, the liability shall be on the host community, and this money, the penalty, shall be taken or deducted from the 3%. But generally, I think that if the government has the willpower, the willingness, and also the IOCs have the willingness, the 3% to some extent, you know, at least can go, you know, can do one or two things in the communities. But believe you me, we should not also ignore the fact that despite the fact that 3% has been provided, you know, aimed at bettering the lifestyle or the, you know, situation of the host community, we also have a whole lot of responsibility and liabilities placed on the members of the host community.
So to answer your question, the objective, so I'll just read a part of the PIA that speaks to the host community. Yeah. So the objective of the trust, as provided under section 239, to be specified in the constitution, it shall include, number one, to finance and execute projects for the benefit and sustainable development of the host community. Number two, undertake infrastructural development of the host community within the scope of the funds available to the Board of Trustees for such purposes. To facilitate economic empowerment opportunities in the host community. To advance and propagate educational developments for the benefit of the members of the host community. To support healthcare development for the host community. To support local initiatives within the host community. Support local investments in the assist in any other developmental purposes deemed beneficial to the host community. So what the funds would be used for are clearly, you know, marked out,
stated. Yes.
So okay, so what we are expecting is let the funds begin to roll in, then these projects and proposals would be carried out.
So if everything worked properly, the host community development trust should be a great benefit to all communities, right? The phone line is buzzing. We need to hear from some people. I think we need to open up the phone lines right now. 018-889-954 and seal an interactive session right here on Comfort 95.1 FM with the members of Connected Development. This particular interactive session is sponsored by Oxfam. We have a caller on the line. Hello, good morning to you. What's your name and where are you calling us from?
Good morning.
Go ahead, please. Your name and where are you calling us from?
Good morning, everybody in the studio.
Good morning.
My name is Fred Morgan from Guarani.
Okay, go ahead, please.
I'm very happy for what you people discussed this morning. Because since 2019, the federal government promised those community and he advised us to go and open the bank. Then the name of the bank is Access Bank. We did that since 2019. And we still wait. Every information we listen to the radio and we hear, and we still wait for that. We hear something about that 3%. But I want federal government to do something because they are the leader. And God will bless this Nigeria, and this our policy will be better for us. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for, of course, being a part of this particular segment. We'll get to, of course, from that caller who is still waiting for the 3%, barrister. What does that mean?
You know, this money, when we're talking about 3%, we're not talking about money here.
Okay.
You know, we are looking at projects. It's not as if the 3% will be removed and then shared to everyone in the community. No, no, no. We are looking at whatever expenditure that the settler makes, you know, in the preceding year, 3% of that will be deposited in that fund, and then that fund will now be used. That's why if you look at the PIA, it talks about assessment of needs within the community.
Okay.
What does this community need? Do they need hospital? Do they need this and that? Is it road and all the stuff? So, and then they will now take out that money and exclusively execute or implement the project.
I needed to throw that question because members of the host
money
communities will be expecting the 3% to go around in their pockets. We still have another caller. Okay, 018-889-951, 0906, 0008-951. Let the calls come in right now as we are talking to members of Connected Development. It's actually an interactive session, so you can be a part of us. So before we get the next caller, let's maybe get to ask a question that we'll maybe see or say our goodbyes on this particular segment. What amendment would you love to see? I'll start with Ubong Ekpe, who is the Kwabam State Lead Follow the Money. What amendment would you love to see in the Petroleum Industry Act? Would you love to see any amendment?
Okay, the There are lots of amendments,
okay.
But the one that stands out for me is around the issue of insecurity, so and all thefts. Now, there's nothing said. Okay, let me put it this way: if we keep on having these incidents of all thefts,
okay.
That will reduce the amounts of funds or revenue that these oil companies would make,
yeah.
And that will also have a direct effect on how much
3%.
On the 3%. So, 2 weeks ago, a huge oil tanker was, you know, cut off on the high sea, carrying over 3 million barrels of oil. So, and we are losing an average of $2.6 billion annually from oil thefts. So if this, you know, gaps are closed, the communities would earn more. So I want to see something on the PIA that speaks to, you know, addressing the issue of oil thefts. Then number two, the issue of how do we really define the host community? Who are the host communities? Not clearly defined. And like my barrister had mentioned, the PIA too doesn't also really speak to who is dedicated.
From your own definition, who are the host communities?
For me, the host communities.
So that if you see the amendment and if you see the your kind of definition, you'll be like, okay, I'm satisfied with this.
For me, where the oil company is domiciled and operating, it should be the host community.
All right, let's get your parting shots on that particular question.
You're talking about amendment, and I'm very much interested in that aspect. In just a second, I would really be interested in seeing two amendments being reflected on the PIA, though it has already become a law. Now, one is that the percentage should be increased. What is 3%? Yes, of course, the increment of the percentage, you know. And then two, that the burden placed on the host community, which has now made them to become security men towards, for the IOCs, should be lifted off their shoulders. How do you tell me that you are giving me 3% and then anything that happens to your facility, you hold me responsible? So that burden should be taken off the shoulders of the host community, you know, and then the percentage should be increased, because for me, 3% is nothing to write home about, to be very frank.
All right, let's quickly get this callers who are very much interested in this particular interaction.
Hello.
Hello, good morning to you.
Yeah, Fredman is back.
All right, go ahead, please.
I want to say, in my own community, we have about 3 oil wells. Then we lack hospital. The NNPC bring 1 hospital in my community, but because of misunderstanding with the community, they not take good care again. You just come and offer the key and go back. Then nothing happen again. We lack road in my community. We lack no school. So when someone like me, I am a physically challenged. I have a little shock in even our local government area. So now I am in a village. So someone like me, I need a very big help.
I would love to ask you a side question. You said your community went and opened a bank account with Access Bank. But what the law stipulates is this committee, the Board of Trustees, must be set up. The Fund Management Board committee must be set up. So before you even get to the point of opening a bank account.
Of course.
So please, can you shed more light about the bank account you people open waiting for
3%? Okay. That means maybe it's approved by the federal government, because each community have a 40 people. Then at the end, it's the government had 10 again. It come be 50 people.
Okay.
Not everybody for the community. Then the community choose people. Maybe they choose from house to house.
So
totally 40 people. Then they go open the account. And when I reach the bank, nobody small people. They feel like you say I did for market. So that thing you say, you understand that kind of thing. So you know, approved by community, approved by federal government.
All right. So I think, thank you so much for being a part of this conversation right now. I think from
his point of view, he is going off point. I mean, that's not even it. I mean, it's something else he's referring
to. He's talking about not the PIA and not the trust that we are talking about.
So I think there's need for more sensitization around
that's
PIA
right.
to the community.
Of course.
And I'm
especially
not...
to the traditional leaders, you know. And youth leaders, you know.
Because I also felt that at this point, the state government, Akwa Ibom state government, and the State House Assembly should also step in as a mediator.
Unfortunately, they are not mentioning the PIA. The state government is not there. It's about the host community. The federal government wants to deal directly with the host community.
But that does not stop.
No.
Just get my point. That does not stop the State House if there's fracas between the community
Lord
leaders.
The law doesn't mention the state government.
Just as a mediator to bring peace between them. Okay.
All right. So look, we're going to open up the phone line for another caller, and then we'll wrap things up on the show, right? 018-889-951. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning to you. Name and where you calling from? All right, go ahead.
One of your guests in the house said the host community should be where the companies domicile.
Okay.
You know that the drilling of oil and crude oil and gas activity impacting areas that is widespread. What about neighboring communities and all that? What are the effects they are having? So they just want to sit down and bearing that effect quietly, right? Only the host community benefits from it. It should run across the neighboring communities that bear the effects of this drilling processes. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much. I'm afraid that's the last caller we are going to take on the show. And of course, Ubonwekpe, we were, of course, excited to have you on the show, breaking down this for us. And of course, a barrister, great to have you from a very experienced point of view. Thank you so much for joining us, barrister.
Thank you for
Martins
having me.
Asukwe, Upenukan Youth President. Okay, all right. Upenukan Youth President. Of course, Ubonwekpe, it's great to have you. Let's do this some other time.
Thank you.
We've got to say our goodbyes right now, of course. It's still Comfort 95.1 FM, and up next is a commercial. Please stay with us.